Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to another episode of Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Dude, I feel kind of off. Like, I'm hearing myself talk, and I feel like it's not even my voice.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that right now.
Yeah.
Or like, I feel like it's been a while.
It has been a while. It does feel like a while, but we've been recording every
week. Every week, consistently. Yeah. Like, we haven't been ahead.
It's just like, okay, y'all, like, in the beginning we recorded, like, we did not have headsets. Mm-hmm. Or what do they call headsets? Headphones?
Yeah.
And then now we have some, and it just, like, changes the way you hear the recording, which mm-hmm. is crazy. Like, at first I was like, what's the point of headphones?
I didn't get the purpose of it.
Yeah. And then we plugged it in, and you're like, oh my God.
Yes, because you can hear yourself make a mistake.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, hear yourself. That's, like...
It just, like, sounds so clear. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. Anyways, I'm kind of, like, having, like...
A moment.
A little moment here. Hold on. Well, anyways, we hope you're all having a great Wednesday. It is, like we said, busy season. Mm-hmm. Pero ya me lo llegamos allí. And, you know, if there's anyone out there listening who's having a hard time in the holidays, just know that Steph and I are sending you a hug. And you are loved and appreciated. Just in case anyone needed to hear that. I don't think we have any updates, do we, Steph?
No, not like any major updates just right now. Because it's like also the season, like holiday season. So I feel like everyone is just trying to get through personal life, you know? And we'll have more updates. I know like we've said some announcements before, but we'll get to that in the new year.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Those are plans for the new year. Yes. Dang, that's crazy. The new year, another year. Oh my goodness.
I know. 2024.
Anyways, let's not talk about years and age or
that. Let's not talk about numbers.
Literally, no one mentions age, but then I bring it up. But okay, anyways, so como siempre dice Steph, what we're here for, we are here for true crime, and we do indeed have a new episode for you guys. Today's case is actually a very tragic one that involves a whole family.
Today, we will be talking about the Luna family, a family that was murdered by a friend of their son back in the year of 1993.
And while we were researching this case, it brought a lot of like, I mean, we never like to compare cases and we never like, you know, to overlap it, but I feel like it's been a while since we covered the case of the family in Chicago where they went through something similar like this. A whole family was murdered by someone that they knew. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, wow, the fact that this has happened more than once.
More than once. And the fact that it happens in like regular neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it happens here in the States and you would feel like this story just can't be real life.
That is true.
But it is, you know, and it's happened many times. And it's crazy how, like, you just don't hear about it. They're not, like, national news. That they might be very local if they get any, like, media space, mm-hmm. you know, it's, like, very local. But
and that is, I like, you brought up a good point, like, in, like, a normal neighborhood. Like, I always said, obviously, Steph and I went to Santa Cruz for school. And so, like, you're literally in the middle of the forest. Mm-hmm. And, like, so sometimes, like, walking to class is a walk in the forest. And I remember, like, thinking, yeah, I would never live in a place like this forever, you know, like, where mm-hmm. there's, I mean, obviously, we're at a college campus where there's kids everywhere all the time.
Yes.
But, like, you know, like, when you look up in the hills and, like, you see those isolated houses, I'm like, I would not like to live there because what if, like, a maniac like this comes inside?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, your neighbor's, like, literally a mile away.
Yeah.
How do you run to the house to get, you know, you know
that's
what
a
mean?
Very good point. I never really thought about that because, you know, to me, when I see those houses, they're like, oh my God, they're not like, you know, neck to neck type of thing where like the traditional, like more busy city houses are. And that's a very good point.
So it's just, I don't know, it's a lot to think about. And then like the fact that, I mean, I'm not too familiar where like where this neighborhood mm-hmm. was or how it looked, but I imagine that, yeah, it's like a regular, normal neighborhood. And the fact that like the neighbors are literally like right next door and they're like watching TV, cooking dinner, mm-hmm. and you have no idea what's going on in the house next door.
Yeah.
That makes me think.
That is true. That's a lot to think about. But yeah, it's crazy the fact that these things happen in regular neighborhoods, yeah. You know? And, you know, this one is in 1993, but the one we've covered before was in the 2000s.
Recent. Yeah. Como decimos, caras vemos, corazones no sabemos.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, before we begin, we would like to give you all a heads up.
Antes de empezar, les queremos dar una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles. Y también queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
So like we mentioned in the intro, this case is about the Luna family, and that involved Albert Luna Sr. of 46, quien era el papá, Patricia Luna de 40, and she was the mom, Albert Luna Jr., Rochelle de 18 y Damien de 5 años, y ellos todos vivían juntos en Arizona.
And a little bit about their background, you know, they were the typical family, nothing seemed out of the ordinary. They all lived together. They all like loved each other. You had the father, the mother, and the kids, you know, the, you know, American family type, you know, dynamic. And so moving along with the story, we discovered que el hijo mayor, Albert, había conseguido un trabajo en la tienda de Safeway.
And just in case if anyone like internationally is listening, Safeway aquí is like a grocery store. It's pretty known. I think it's like all over the states.
Yeah, I think so. I would imagine so. I know other states have other grocery stores that we don't have.
Yeah.
So true. I don't know. Safeway seems very like...
Well, there's Safeway here in California, and then this case is in Arizona and there's Safeway. So
that's two states.
At least there's in this side of the...
Yes.
This side of the country. but yeah, it's just a grocery store. Y allí en su trabajo, él conoció a Richard Jerf. And they started as coworkers y terminaron como amigos, which is always kind of nice to have, like you find a friend in the workplace.
Y entonces, en el mes de enero, en el año 1993, todo cambió. It all started with a very happy co-workership that led to a friendship. But unfortunately, that took a turn. Apparently, alguien se había metido a robar a la casa de Richard. And what they stole was a TV, a VCR, stereo equipment, and even an AK-47 rifle.
When I was, you know, researching the case and I saw like VCR, I was like, whoa, VCR. But it makes sense because this was in the 1993 era. So VCRs are definitely a thing.
Yeah.
If you don't know what a VCR is, definitely search it up. but yeah. And so... They took all of this from his home, and Richard deeply believed that the person who had done the robbery was Albert Jr. Y él sí fue a la policía para decirles de sus sospechas. You know, he was like, I think he's the one responsible. Pero parece que la policía no hizo nada about this case. Maybe there wasn't enough evidence.
Yeah. Or... I guess what they did is that, you know, they didn't go after these leads because they never questioned Albert. And therefore, there was never an arrest. Y después de unos meses, you know, Richard got, I guess, tired waiting, right, for the police to do something. And he took matters into his own hands.
I think he got, like, really fixated on the idea that it was Albert, you know, and that's why he couldn't let it go. Y el 14 de septiembre del 1993, Richard fue a la casa de la familia Luna y ahí encontró a Patricia y a su hijo de 5 años, Damian. And... Richard, you know, was claiming that he was just stopping by to bring them flowers. You know, how nice. What a nice gesture. But, you know, when he tries to come in, Patricia's kind of like, eh, I don't know, maybe this is not such a good idea. And that is when Richard pulls out a gun and forces her to let him inside the house.
So at this point, it's obvious that he had clear intentions. He wasn't there just to drop off flowers and be a good friend or anything like that.
Yeah.
So once he goes inside the house, he made Patricia put some technology items into her car. And these were the items that Richard believed that Albert Jr. had stolen from him, along with some other items as well.
And then after Patricia placed those all in the car, Richard then tied both Patricia and Damien with an electric tape to some chairs. Y después de unas horas, like, I think we read somewhere, right, that it was like a, like this lasted about 7 hours. He was in the house basically holding them hostage and, you know, doing all these horrible things for 7 hours, like almost a whole like day. Entonces, yeah, he keeps them tied there. Y después de unas horas llega Rochelle, which is the daughter, and she was 18. And Richard immediately, you know, takes out his gun and, you know, points her up to her room and, you know, kind of forces her to go in there. Y ahí en su cuarto, él la violó y la mató.
And meanwhile, Patricia and Damien are in the kitchen still tied. Y después llega Albert Sr. a la casa. And Richard is still there in the middle of a crime scene. And again, Richard uses his gun to take power of Albert Sr. So he at gunpoint makes him go into the bedroom where then he handcuffed him to the bed and smashed his head with a baseball bat.
I also feel like it's a lot of rage that he has. And, you know, after he did that, Richard believed that Albert Sr. had died. Y entonces he takes off the handcuffs and kind of just leaves his body there. And then he makes his way back to the kitchen con Patricia y Damien. And then a few minutes, you know, after, it turns out that Albert Sr. regains consciousness. He wasn't dead yet. Y pues él, you know, knowing everything that's happening, él rápido se va a la cocina to try to save his wife and his son.
Y aunque él estaba muy herido, he managed to stab Richard a few times, but unfortunately, Richard tenía una pistola. And so he shot back at Albert Sr. a few times hasta que lo mató.
Oh my God, like, I was just thinking about, like, this whole, like, scene and just everything that's happening. And I'm here thinking about how the little boy was only 5 years old. Imagine being tied to a chair and, like, you're seeing all of this happening.
Yes, seeing it, hearing it.
Hearing it. Pobrecito.
And so after he killed Albert Sr., Richard then shoots both Patricia and Damien in the head.
It's just so much evilness. Like, it's, I don't know, like, if you were so invested in the items that Albert took, like, you already have them in the car, why can't you just leave?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, like we said, after 7 hours, Richard had murdered Albert Sr., Patricia, Damien, and Rochelle. So the only family member that was still alive at this point was Albert Jr., who was not home.
And after he murdered them all, Richard's plan was to get rid of the evidence. And so he decided to light the house on fire. And so he's pouring gasoline all over the house. And then he leaves a pizza box in the burners to catch fire.
But to Richard's surprise, the house actually did not ignite. Nunca se... The fire never did anything. Entonces, así se quedó todo. Y al siguiente día, Albert Jr. arrives at the Luna's house. And we don't know, like, we couldn't find much information as to where he was or if he lived with them at the time. All we know is que cuando Richard estaba allí haciéndole eso a su familia, he was clueless y él no sabía lo que estaba pasando and he was not present. And so, like, the next day he arrives and, you know, he gets home to all his family members being dead.
That's a very crazy scene to walk into. Imagine, like, you know, the panic as soon as he walks in and that's what he finds. And so a few days later, el 18 de septiembre, Richard fue detenido.
So lo que pasó fue que Richard le terminó diciendo a su novia and a close friend of his lo que él había hecho a la familia de Albert Jr. And, you know, he's also, like, specifically and clearly said that he did this because Albert se metió a robar a su casa.
Y cuando la policía investiga la casa de Richard, encontraron todas las cosas que se había llevado de la casa de la familia Luna.
Y también encontraron la pistola que usó para matarlos. So, needless to say, there's a lot of evidence against Richard. Like, you have the confession, you have the motive, you have the weapon that was used. It's just, there was no doubt in the investigator's mind that it was him.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but when they asked if he had done this horrific crime and why, you know, he would do such a thing, Richard admits to it. Y él dice que él hizo todo esto por vengarse de Albert Jr. because he believed that he had stolen from him.
And so I know the big question is like, well, did Albert do it? Or like, ¿por qué pensó esto? We don't know why he thought it was Albert. But it turns out that, you know, after Richard did these horrific murders, Albert Jr. did actually confess to being the one who robbed Richard. Not that this gives Richard the right to go and, you know, do what he did to this family, not at all. But it's just like, it just makes it really sad that this is how it ended.
Yes, it's very evil. I feel like earlier you had said that he did get all the stuff and put it in his car. Like, he could have just left, you know?
Like, if that's the thing that was bothering you, like, just take it back.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed like Richard had no remorse about what he had done.
And so, you know, obviously it was him. He was the one who murdered this family. And when the trial is starting, Richard is insisting that he wanted to represent himself. And everyone was just so confused as to why he would want to do that, right? Like, clearly you're guilty. You have everything against you. And on top of that, you don't want any, like, lawyers helping you out. Y entonces, at first, yeah, like, everyone was a little bit like, huh, about it. Y al final, sí lo dejaron representarse él solo. But, you know, the judge was still kind of a bit uneasy about it. So he was still, like, to be working with two lawyers to help guide him.
I always find it interesting, people that want to represent themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And so on May 22nd, 1996, he accepted a plea bargain after admitting that he was guilty. And he was convicted of first-degree murder charges and sentenced to death on each count.
And when Richard hears this, you know, that he was sentenced to death on each count, his response to this was, and we quote, "They can only kill me once," end quote. And I feel like that just shows that he had, like, no remorse about what he did. Like, he's kind of like saying, like, oh, yeah, you're going to kill me four times. Okay, well, whatever, you know. And I don't know. I just feel like there was just no emotion.
Yeah, that's a very strong quote, and it shows a lot what he was thinking and feeling. And so as of today, Richard is still at the Arizona State Prison Complex, and he still remains on death row.
And that's it. That is the Luna family's case. El único que sobrevivió fue Albert Jr. And I hope that he found, like, the closure and maybe some healing throughout the way of, like, the horrible things that happened and the reason why it happened. I feel like no one should have to go through that or, like, live through the aftermath of losing a whole entire family.
Yeah.
So así que les queremos recordar, you know, que caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. Just always, always try to be safe. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We know it's a bit on the shorter side, but we still hope that you enjoy listening, and we will see you all next week.